Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
I often think that one of the things that sets apart a B-list copywriter and an A-list copywriter is a love for psychology. And we're doing a deep dive into that today. So I'm going to hand it over to you, and then we'll just have a fantastic conversation, I'm already sure.
That sounds good. Yeah, I agree with you about that for sure, about the A-list and B-list copywriter. So let's travel back in time. In 1911, psychology pioneer Alfred Adler resigned from the presidency of a prestigious psychoanalytic society in Vienna, and Sigmund Freud took it personally and deemed Adler an enemy. And it didn't stop there either. Freud continued to rail against Adler until Freud's death in 1939. The details of their dispute are kind of technical and petty, and we won't get into them right now. The effects, though, were massive. Because of Freud's furious condemnations, Adler's work was suppressed for decades. And this is important. See, Adler had some powerful ideas that decades later have found their way into a number of well-accepted branches of psychology: cognitive behavioral therapy, positive psychology, family systems therapy, just to name a few. And yet Adler's work remains unknown to most people. Where this all fits into copywriting is that some of Adler's core ideas are enormously useful. They can help you with your own big ideas, hooks, headlines, and understanding customer motivation at a deep level. But first, here's something you should know no matter what kind of psychology you believe in. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. All right, so back to Adler. He was ahead of his time. He saw that people weren't driven by instincts or trauma from childhood the way Freud said they were. And he rejected Freud's notion that most behavior and thoughts were a result of our sex drive. Instead, Adler believed we are motivated in nearly all cases by a drive to overcome what he called felt inferiority. What that means for you as a copywriter is this: your prospect is not a passive respondent to stimuli. You need to look at them as though they're always trying to solve a problem, and they use beliefs, habits, and even resistance to your message as part of this continuous effort. The problem is a feeling of inferiority, but not the way you might think of it in terms of inferiority complex. It's different, and we'll get into that today. Adler's lens helps you see prospect resistance not as laziness or skepticism, but as a very deliberate, even if an unconscious, strategy. So today we're going to cover five of Adler's most relevant ideas for copywriting. I know you've recently gotten into Adler without even knowing we were going to do this today. Nathan, you want to say anything before we jump in?
I think that Freud got some things right. I think that Carl Jung got some things right. I did not come across, and probably because of the suppression of Adler's work, I didn't really do a deep dive into Adler's work until recently. And when you sent me over the show notes, I was just so excited to dive into this. So, man, I don't want to hold back anymore. Let's just get into it.
All right, so let's start with what causes hesitation or pushback from your prospect. See, according to Adler's thinking, people are not just reacting to what's happening in their lives. It's more proactive than that. Adler believes people are constantly trying to improve their position in the world. And he calls this the drive to overcome inferiority. Now, you don't need to take this to an extreme, because Adler's not saying your prospect feels worthless. What he's saying is They always feel some area of their life is lacking, and they're always trying to fix it. From Adler's point of view, it's this feeling that explains why they're on your landing page or why they're reading your email. It's not curiosity or greed or fear. It's their attempt to solve a problem that touches on their sense of adequacy. Let's look at this and see how it plays out. Say you pitch a program to help freelancers double their rates. They want it, but they freeze. They say, will this work for someone like me? You might interpret that as doubt in your product, but Adler would say they're afraid of exposing their gaps. They're afraid that the offer will prove they weren't already doing everything right, mm-hmm. or even worse, that they were doing a lot of things wrong. If the tone of your copy sounds like you're talking down to them or calling out failure, then they'll worry that this would increase their feeling of inferiority and they'll stop reading. But if you acknowledge how normal this struggle is and you show how your offer helps them level up without feeling shame, then they're a lot more likely to stay with you. One more thing. As Adler sees it, a prospect's objections often don't come from logic, but from this deep need inside not to feel small, not to feel wrong or stupid. The fix? When you answer objections in your copy, don't just refute the logic. Reassure your prospect. Show them how the product protects their status, their image, their sense of competence, and feeling in control. Adler called this ongoing motivation striving for significance. Copy that helps the prospect feel more significant without exposing them to shame or judgment is what Adler would say is copy that will work. And maybe you've had experience that confirms this. I know I have.
I like to think of this as identity. A lot of times the copy is either helping them achieve an identity shift or an identity reinforcement. When you buy this, it says this about you. And one of my favorite companies, one of my favorite brands that I think nails this is J. Peterman. I can just read their copy for hours because it's all about either the shift in identity or the reinforcement of what you already positively believe about your identity. And I just think that they nail it. So to take this and then to give a real world example of it, I would say if you're a copywriter out there, go check out the J. Peterman website and look at how they subtly do this, where it's a shift from where you're at and you don't want to be to where you are, or reinforcement of what you believe about yourself and you want to put out to the world, and how buying my product helps you do that.
Yeah, that's a powerful idea. And you're absolutely right. I mean, the feeling of inferiority, the striving for significance, that all connects with identity 100%. So yeah, really great point. All right, next, let's talk about what Adler would say about the reasoning your prospect actually uses. So Adler introduced the idea of private logic to describe how people make sense of their world. And this is not the kind of neutral objective thinking that we often associate with the word logic. What Adler's talking about is personal, emotional, often wildly irrational to an outside observer. But, and this is really important, it feels absolutely correct and it feels like common sense to the person using it. Your prospect's private logic creates the lens they use to interpret everything in your copy. And here's why this matters so much. When we talk about answering objections or clarifying benefits, we tend to use our own reasoning. The copywriter tends to use their own reasoning when they're doing that. But Adler would tell us those things might not resonate with the reasoning your reader is using. They could be rejecting your logic for reasons that would never occur to you. Let's say you're promoting an online course to help new business owners do their own bookkeeping. You say, it's easier than hiring an accountant. But what if your prospect's private logic is, if I don't have a real accountant, then my business isn't legit? Your offer contradicts, and this gets back to what you were saying, Nathan, their sense of identity, the very legitimacy of their business, at least in their mind. Or suppose you describe your product as fast and flexible, but your reader could see that as unstable and risky. So what do you do to avoid this mismatch? You don't try and distract them away from their logic. You join with it. That starts with research. You want stories, interviews, testimonials, forum posts, and podcast appearances. Watch them, read them, think about them. Anywhere people like your prospect have expressed what they value, what they fear, and what they believe is true about people like them. This gives you a picture of their private logic. Then when you write your copy, run every claim you make through this filter. Would this make sense if I believed what they believe? Private logic is always operating beneath the surface. Your job as a copywriter is to find it, respect it, and speak to it directly.
So Adler had a theory that traumatic experiences were less about the experience and more about the story that we constructed about this experience. And so the trauma really came from the story that we told ourselves about the event and what it meant about us and what it meant about the world, more so than just the event itself. And if you could give a different perspective, a new way, a new texture to the story, a new way of looking at the story, that was the easiest way to help people untraumatize themselves from it. And a lot of times people do have built-in trauma, quote unquote, about the thing that they're struggling with that you can help them with. And I've heard the saying, start with the overlay of the map. Instead of trying to beat a new worldview into your head, we're going to start where our maps overlay, and then I'm going to give you a subtle shift in perspective. And so I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just trying to give you a new frame to look at it to, or to look at it through. And hopefully, once you have that new frame, you're able to see this thing that's blocking you from taking action. You're able to see it in a new perspective. And then, if that makes sense to you, check out the solution that we have. And it's very subtle, and it's not the way that most marketers and copywriters approach trying to persuade, but it's so powerful. And I just love the concept, the way of looking at it that Adler had.
That is so great. And, you know, that idea about the story, it's made its way into psychology. At least a couple of examples I can, well, not just psychology. I mean, Yuval Harari, brilliant writer, very controversial. Some people love him, some people hate him. He says, stories is, you know, that's what we do as humans. I mean, he's not talking about the persuasion story code or Joseph Campbell. He's talking about what goes on in our mind, you know, all the time. And in the personal growth movement, in the forum and EST asked, you know, way back in the 70s and in the early 80s, I guess, a lot of their whole philosophy was based on what you just said about the story you tell yourself. Now, they weren't quite as subtle or deft as you're talking about. They wanted to rip away the story that you had and put in a new one. And I think your approach is probably a lot more effective. But nevertheless, I mean, that's just an example of how this guy was so far ahead of his time.
I want to just add, as a copywriter, sometimes our impulse is rip away their old story and give them a new story. But Adler was very much about, like you said, meeting them where they're at and then giving them, hey, this is just another perspective, another way to look at it. And if that makes sense, go check out this thing that we've got, which is a much more effective way to go about copywriting.
Yeah, I don't know if he influenced Milton Erickson, but they certainly came to a lot of the same conclusions. You know, Erickson would tell stories in a way that reached deep into someone's unconscious mind and would allow them to make healing shifts. But very, very interesting. Okay, let's get on to perfectionism. So one of Adler's most surprising insights is that perfectionism isn't really about the perfect quality, the hope diamond, the watch that is unbeatable. Perfectionism is more about pushing away from a person's own perceived sense of inferiority. And ultimately, perfectionism is about the person who has the perfectionism having a sense of control. And that's critical for copywriters to understand. Here's how it works. your prospect is looking for a solution, but at the same time, they're scared of making a bad decision. Why? Because every decision has its consequence, a cost, a potential for embarrassment, even failure. So perfectionism says, don't move until it's guaranteed. So they read your sales page, and instead of looking for something that works, they start looking for reasons not to buy. Anything ambiguous in your language? Deal breaker. One review that's not glowing? Red flag. Because, not because your offer isn't good enough, but because your prospect's internal bar has been set unrealistically high. They don't want a solution. They want a guarantee of invulnerability. And that's not logical, but it's emotionally true. So you're dealing with a fear-driven buyer. So what do? Well, you address the fear without feeding it. First, lower the emotional risk. Make it safer to take the next step. This could mean a risk reversal, like a guarantee, but it could also mean using language that frames progress as a process, not a pass-fail. Let's say you're offering a training program. Don't say, master this skill in 30 days. Instead, say something more like, get a repeatable system so you can keep getting better and better, but at your own pace. See the difference? The first one is performance pressure. The second one takes the pressure off completely and lets the prospect define what a win means to them. And another thing is, it made it incremental. Break your solution into steps. Let the reader imagine a series of small wins instead of imagining themselves crashing and burning. Use phrases like, here's what usually happens in 1 week. Most users start seeing results after trying this one feature. This reframes the purchase as a low-risk investment in growth, not an all-or-nothing gamble. The big lesson here is make sure you don't overpromise, even if you know you can deliver on that promise. And even if you know most prospects can achieve the result you're talking about, because when you overpromise, it triggers skepticism in perfectionistic prospects. They think, this sounds too good. I'll wait. So the return of Jupiter for our video viewers. That's Jupiter on Nathan Schulders. So the thing to do instead is give them believable benchmarks, specific milestones without the hype. This helps them feel in control. And that return, and that really works for this kind of prospect because that's what perfectionism is all about, trying to stay in control. Adler said courage is essential for growth. Your copy can't give the reader courage, but it can reduce the amount of courage they need to take the next step. By framing your offer as a series of small results along a path, instead of as a test, they'll be afraid of failing. You can help the perfectionist buyer say yes.
I like something that Jason Parker does in his copy a lot, which is give them a visualization of what this looks like tomorrow, what this looks like a week from now, what this looks like a month from now. And that way it's not the all or nothing. It's the, oh, tomorrow after I implement this, I'm going to get this. And a week from now, I'm going to get this. And a month from now, I'm going to get this. And it makes it more believable. It's not going from 0 to 100. It's going from 0 to 20, and then from 20 to 40, and then from 40 to 60. And it's a much less scarier mountain to climb that way.
Yeah, here's the flip side of that. From the point of view of the copywriter and the point of view of the reader, there is something thrilling about hitting the gas and going from 0 to 60 in a few seconds. But when you actually have to make a decision that you're going to be the one that has to do that, and you might drive right over the cliff, mm-hmm. like Thelma or Louise, you decide, no way. So it's, you know, not putting, you know, not trying to make, you know, not trying to make your sales letter fast and furious, right? Make it more like a conversation with a friend.
The Gen Z copywriters out there are like, Thelma and Louise, what?
Who's that? Look, Google it. Look it up on YouTube. Okay. That's the old boomer in me. Google it. Okay. So, another thing, Adler's view of connection. Of all of Adler's ideas, social interest is the easiest one to misunderstand first time you hear it. social interest. Social interest in Adler's terms is the degree to which a person feels connected to a larger group of people. Now, as copywriters, there's little we can do in our copy for the most part to affect our prospect's relationship with larger society as a whole, at least it, for most offers. But what we can do is reframe social interest for the purposes of this podcast and for your purposes as a copywriter as having to do with the prospect's connection to what you're saying, to the framework you've devised and you're writing your copy inside of. And this is important because copy that doesn't create a sense of connection usually sounds like manipulation. It feels transactional. It feels forced. And for many readers, it instantly causes the walls to go up. I'm sure you've seen this yourself. Manufactured urgency, scarcity that feels fake, overstated claims that push too hard, as we were talking about just a minute ago. It's not so much that the copy is dishonest. It might be, it might not be. It's more that it feels disconnected to the prospect because it's focused far more on making the sale than it is on the life situation of the prospect. Adler would say, when you show genuine care for your prospect's outcome, it shifts everything. You stop trying to win the sale, you start trying to help your prospect win, and that shows up in your copy. Okay, let's say you're selling a course on running Facebook ads. You could write, launch your first campaign in an hour, even if you're clueless. Or you could write, confused by Facebook ads? You're not alone. Here's how to launch your first campaign step by step without the overwhelm. Both are trying to sell the same thing, but only the second one respects the reader's dignity. So that's social interest on the page when you're writing it. It's about aligning your tone and message with what actually helps the prospect make a decision they'll feel good about. And creating a connection also helps you hold attention. When your copy feels like it was written by someone who gets it, someone who actually cares, the reader leans in, not because they're dazzled, but because they feel seen. That's powerful. You can use this in your structure too. Start with empathy. Call out the problem, but frame it without shaming the prospect. Then show the way forward, not as a miracle, but as a process they can realistically take on. This creates what Adler called a feeling of belonging. In copy terms, it builds trust. You're someone offering a solution that respects where they are and helps them get to where they want to go. One more thing, creating connection does not mean abandoning strong selling. You still need urgency. You still need a clear call to action. But when those things are built in the service of empathy and care, they feel like leadership instead of pressure. Mm-hmm. Adler believed that psychological health depended on social interest. In business, long-term success depends on it too, because copy that's rooted in service creates happy customers that come back to buy again and again.
He often talked about the difference between competition and collaboration. And he said that you mentioned in the workplace, this was one of his examples was, in the workplace, you can see yourself as competing with the next guy or the next girl to get the promotion or get the recognition, or you can see yourself as collaborating with them and you're part of a team and you're working on a shared goal. And when you write copy as from the mindset of the money's in their pocket, I want the money in my pocket, that's the competition mindset. But when you write your copy, and people can sense that, but when you write your copy from the, hey, we're on a mission together to help solve this problem. I'm here to help you. I'm here to work with you on solving this problem, getting this desired result. People can also feel that. And when you write your copy from that point of connection with people, again, they don't see you as someone trying to pressure them into buying. They see you as somebody who's there as a trusted leader to help get them to where they want to go.
Yeah. I mean, the old cliche, not, it's true though. Nobody cares what you know until they know that you care. Yep. Nobody cares what you're selling until they know that you care too.
Yep.
All right. So that dovetails really nicely into this last one, what your copy is really saying. And I've seen what I'm about to tell you show up in the NLP definition, one of them, of communication, which is the meaning of a communication is the result it causes, as opposed to, well, anything else. So back to Adler. Adler believed every behavior was purposeful, even when people don't realize it. He wrote that every action is a form of communication, a signal, a bid to belong, a way of saying, this is who I am, or this is how I want to be seen. And this translates directly to copy, because every piece of copy you write is doing at least two things at once, making an offer and sending a signal about who you are and how you see the reader. If you're a good copywriter, you certainly focus on the first part, making an offer. You build your offer, stack your benefits, handle objections, all good. But are you paying enough attention to the second part, sending a signal? You need to take stock of what the tone is saying, what the structure is saying, what the choice of words implies about you, the writer, or the person you're writing on behalf of, and just as much what it says about the reader. Now, this matters a lot more than you might have realized, because whether you're thinking about it or not, your prospect is constantly picking up those signals. Mm-hmm. Even if they can't put it into words, they can still feel it. So here are some of the signals in your writing you should be aware of. Your tone sends a signal. Condescending, they feel talked down to. Aggressive, they brace for a fight. Unclear, you may just not have thought it through well enough, but they assume you're hiding something. Mm-hmm. Then your structure sends a signal. Rambling, they might get the message that you don't really respect their time. Too slick and polished, you might be overcompensating for some feeling of inferiority yourself. Disorganized, it could be that you don't know what you're talking about. Even your pacing, your flow send a signal. If the copy feels rushed, you might seem desperate. If it drags, you might seem uncertain. If it's uneven, they might worry about your consistency and follow through. The bottom line is these signals stack up. So ask yourself, what do you want your copy to say about you indirectly? Do you want to sound like someone who understands the reader's problem? Of course. Do you want to sound confident, calm, and clear? I would guess so. Do you want to sound like someone who respects the reader's time and intelligence? Sure you do. So then reverse engineer your copy to send those signals, and here's how. Write like you're having a real conversation. Edit out the hype and the hard sell. Respect them where they're at. Don't scold them or belittle them. Be direct. Say what you mean in the simplest possible way. Tighten up your copy so it's conversational but still concise. Respect their time. And let your tone respect quiet confidence, not the bravado of an insecure clown. Remember, every piece of copy is doing more than selling. It's also broadcasting a message about you. So be deliberate. Make sure the signal matches your intention. The more aligned your copy is, from content to tone to structure, the more trust you build. And that's how you create copy that converts and connects.
Okay, one thing I'm going to add to that, especially when it comes to tightening up your copy. A lot of times I see copywriters over-explain, and that is often a subtle clue, that they don't actually have confidence in it. They have some insecurity about it. And so that's another good reason to tighten up your copy, is you don't want to convey that you're insecure about. If you're not secure about it, how can I be secure about buying it? So that's
absolutely.
But what I really love about this is, in writing, we don't have the ways to communicate the cues that we have in other forms of selling. If we're sitting down and having a one-on-one conversation, there's body language, there's tone of voice. If we're on a sales call, there's at least tone of voice there. But when we're just writing, we're missing out on a lot of the things that we have the ability to communicate otherwise. So going through this list of the last part that you just covered is a way to still hit those points, those communications, when we're restricted to just words on a page. So it's so important.
Yeah. So let me recap this, because I think we may have covered a lot of new ground, or maybe these are things you already know, but we've organized them and explained them differently. So quick recap: striving to move away from inferiority. Your prospect isn't just solving a problem. They're trying to upgrade their sense of adequacy. Private logic: your reader uses their own internal logic to interpret your message and find out what it is and speak in their language. Perfectionism as control: many prospects delay action, not because they don't believe you, but because they don't want to lose control. So your copy needs to lower that emotional risk and help them feel like they're gaining control rather than handing it over. Social interest: when your copy cares more about the sale than the reader, your copy will sense it and withdraw. Write like someone who wants the reader to win. And every message sends a signal. Your copy is always saying something about you, even when you don't mean it to. So get intentional. Ask yourself, what is this saying about who I am and how I see the reader? And that's it.
Man, I love it. Okay, we've gone on for a while. Let's go ahead and cut the episode. If you enjoyed this, check out the show notes if you need a more in-depth look at this. The show notes will be over at copywriterspodcast.com, as well as a bunch of other episodes. And until next time, we will catch you later.
We'll catch you later. Thanks. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.